Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Dr. Marty Gentzius of Kent State University, and this week on Counselor Audio Source, Dr. Teresa O'Halloran, contributing editor, speaks with Ms. Patty Schermbeck, the Elder Care Division Director of the Eastern Nebraska Office on Aging, about elder issues.
Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. This is Dr. Teresa O'Halloran. Today we have the exciting opportunity to speak to Patty Schermbeck of the Eastern Nebraska Office on Aging. Patty is the director of the Information and Assistance Elder Care Division, and she has lots of background and experience on caring for the elderly, and look forward to speaking with her today. So welcome, Patty.
It's nice to be here.
Thank you. So let's start and first tell us about your background. What got you started working with the elderly? And
Decided to go to nursing school in 82. Really probably preferred the elderly over any of the other practices. Was kind of raised by grandparents, so that's where my love is. And I've worked in family practice for probably 12 years and 6 years in internal medicine. Took a position here at the Eastern Nebraska Office on Aging almost 7 years ago, and it's where I belong.
Uh-huh. So why is it where you belong? What's the
good fit for you? I really feel that this is one field that a person can make a difference in. I think that seniors have been neglected pretty much until just the past few years, and with them being the biggest segment of our population that's growing, that's where the future is. I think that people are living longer because of all the medical breakthroughs, the medications, procedures, so that they're living well up into their 80s and 90s, and they have their own specific set of problems.
Mm-hmm. Great. Does sound really interesting work, engaging, broad. So maybe you could start by providing us some facts today to help kind of give a base for our discussion.
The mission of the Eastern Nebraska Office on Aging is to keep seniors in their homes for as long as they safely can be. When I started probably 6.5, 7 years ago, we would get maybe 250 calls a month and do 25 intakes out of that 250 where we would get a case manager involved. As of this year, our last statistics show that we're averaging 2,000 calls a month, and we're doing between 200 and 300 intakes a month. So that shows you how the needs have grown in a really short time. Mm-hmm. The biggest probably concern of most seniors is being able to stay in their home, and that's the kind of services that we provide.
Mm-hmm. So where do the referrals come from? Is this self-referred, like the seniors in the community call you for assistance?
Or? It can be. One of our departments is the senior centers, and we get a lot from our senior center managers. But we get probably 3/4 are from family members who have heard about us at church or on TV or have seen a brochure, and the rest come throughout the community. We work closely with discharge planners at the hospitals. We work with the social work department at the cardiac clinics, rehab centers, churches. We also have a gatekeeper program that we are getting more and more referrals from, and this program is where we go out and train people that are in the neighborhoods every day, such as mailmen, OPPD workers, MUD workers, that kind of person that sees people on a regular basis, should notice if something's a little bit different, if mail's piling up, or if a client is answering the door and looks unkept or appears to be ill. We'll get calls from them also and get a case manager out there to check on that person. So the sources of our referrals are just varied.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest one being family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is obviously a national change, the growth of the elderly population.
Absolutely.
Do you have a sense of how large?
I actually have some statistics that the Census Bureau put out. They said that right now there are over 75 million baby boomers, and the first of them turned 60 this year. Out of that 75 million, over 5 million are 85 or older, and they think those numbers will double by the year 2010. So that shows you, I actually got the breakdown, and the 60 to 64 age group has close to 50 million. The 65 to 84 year old group has 37 million, and then the 85 plus is 5, and they believe that will double probably within the next 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have 10 million elders over 85.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, with a wide variety of needs. And so how do you think that's affecting our culture and society?
I don't know that if the impact is as great as it's going to be. I think it's just started to become an issue. Funding being what it is, taxes being as high as they are, all of the local government are trying to cut costs, and they want to keep people at home. They have found that it's much more cost effective. If they provide home-based services, it averages, I think they said, about $300 a month per client for full services, and that would be meals and bath aid and homemaker and the whole bit, opposed to keeping them in a nursing home for approximately, in Nebraska, it's about $3,700 a month.
Mm.
So that's a big savings.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that more and more of them are needing services. They planned for their retirement, but they never dreamed their expenses would be what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of issues there, and they cannot always afford their care. And I think we're going to see that really become more prevalent as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The financial concerns. Yeah. So is that there are common needs that you come across for the elderly? You've mentioned a few. So you mentioned financial. Could you say some more about those needs?
I think one of the biggest requests we're getting right now is for help for medications. You know, people never dreamed that prescriptions would be running them what they are right now, or that their utilities would be as high as they are. So if they've planned for their retirement, it doesn't begin to cover the expenses that they're having. And we have a lot of seniors right now that only have Social Security to live on.
Mm-hmm.
So financial is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It is so big.
And just to clarify for some who may not be familiar, a Social Security payment might be $800 or $1,000 a month,
something
I think like
it varies. I've heard it as low as $400, and I've heard it as high as $1,600. I don't think anyone gets any more than that.
Okay. And I know for some personal experience with my father, that medication can easily run $500 or $600
Absolutely.
A month.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. If you have a person that is on even 4 or 5 prescriptions, it can take 3/4 of what they're getting in a month.
Mm-hmm. And the Medicare Part B has helped.
The Medicare Part D.
Part D, is that what it is?
It has helped some people, but we're still... A lot of our seniors are on quite a few medications, so they hit that gap, that $3,500 gap, fairly quickly. And during that time period, they just cannot afford to pick up the full price. And what we're finding is they will get their prescriptions filled, but they won't take them the way they're prescribed. They might take one a day instead of two, or they might cut it in half. Which is a huge problem, and that also contributes to the health problems that they're having.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So health is a second concern, financial and then health concerns.
Yeah, it is.
They can be really various, some just related to age and aging. And
I think that the conditions we're seeing a frailer population, mm-hmm. because they are living longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that their biggest fear is that they're not going to be able to care for themselves. I'm not really sure where it's all going to end up or where it's going to head. I do believe it has to be addressed. I see it as multiple problems leading to their home situation and their health situation. I know that we're seeing more mental health issues with our seniors than we've ever seen before, and we think that's twofold. We think the first part of it is that they're not ashamed to admit that they're having problems, that it's become more acceptable to admit that you're depressed or to admit that you're not feeling well. I also think that a lot of that is because they're worried about their financial situation, their home situation. You know, being by themselves, I think in the mobile society that we have this picture of grandma and grandpa being visited all the time by grandchildren or their children, and that's not what's happening. A lot of children grow up and move clear across country, and they might only see their parents once a year, if that. Our biggest request for services comes right after the holidays, and it's because the son or daughter has come home at holiday time, and they have thought mom and dad are doing fine, but they get there and actually can see the situation, and they realize that they do need that help.
So you find families facilitating the seeking of help frequently?
Yes. That's probably where most of our referrals come from.
So you said some things about mental health concerns, and that you see that as a major area where seniors seek your services. And one issue was that they're more willing to admit they have needs like depression. What else is involved in the mental health services for the seniors?
I think that it's been a neglected area, and it's just one that now people are actually specializing in geriatric mental health issues, that is their focus. I believe that they're probably more depressed now than they've ever been because of economics, because of our lifestyle, because of the way things are changing and the uncertainty, not only in their own personal lives, but in the country. I think that we are going to see, just as these boomers age and they're more educated and they're not afraid to ask for help, there's not the stigma to receiving help. I feel that we're going to need more and more programs. We personally at the Office on Aging contract with Family Services to provide some mental health counseling and actually do some in-home counseling, which is something that is very much needed and not a lot of programs available because a lot of our seniors are simply not mobile. We started a peer counseling group, and this is where trained psychiatrists and psychologists work with seniors that have been through the loss of a spouse, have been through loss of mobility, have been through loss of job, have been isolated or faced a health problem and has survived it, has actually gone forth and have used these past experiences to help others. And we find that seniors are very receptive to sitting down with someone of their own age, of their own generation, who can understand why they feel the way they do and counsel them and bring them through it, empower them, show them that if they can do it, so, you know, they can help others get through that also. And that has been a very successful program that I would like to see continue to expand.
Absolutely. So you're involved in assisting in the training of the peer counselors.
Yes.
And is this a group experience or one-to-one?
It can be either one. We have a couple of support groups going, which we have found some of our World War II veterans or people that have been in the service, these gentlemen will meet. And that they have a lot in common and something that other people just don't understand. So that has been very rewarding for them. But we also do one-on-one. And I think for the widow or widower, the one-on-one works much better.
So that's a wonderful way to address one of the major concerns of isolation, which can impact depression and...
It certainly can. I think just getting a person out of their home sometimes makes a world of difference. But a lot of them, it's very hard to get them to venture out, especially if they've been very dependent upon their spouse for most of their life. And now they find themselves completely alone.
Definitely. So another aspect, I think, of mental health that I'm interested in, and I think our listeners will be, is how... what you see specifically in families, say the children of the elder who are trying to assist, what are some of the dynamics and issues that come up in the family?
You know, they're numerous. If a family was dysfunctional to begin with, you're going to see more problems in that family as the elder people age and they're facing more problems. Mm-hmm. Finances, again, is huge. If you have a family that can afford to get extra help to come in, that can afford those home-delivered meals, that can afford someone to come in and give mom a bath or sit with her, you're not going to run into some of the problems that a family that is strapped for money would find. We're finding our caregivers are extremely frustrated. A lot of times they feel like they're the only ones in the world taking care of mom and dad or another family member, and it's hard for them to reach out. They become so involved in just getting through the day-to-day issues that it's an extremely hard thing. If you've heard about the sandwich generation, I'm sure, mm-hmm. and we're seeing that a lot where people have teenagers and they're working, and now they have mom and dad to take care of. So they oftentimes are having a worse time than the senior. And on the other end of that, we're finding spouses that are taking care of each other. And it's not uncommon for us to get a call from an 86-year-old wife taking care of her husband, who is 89 or 90, and he has a dementia, and she has just pretty much not relied on anyone at all to help her. And now she is frustrated. She's fatigued. Her own health is at risk. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the caregiver will actually pass away before the client does just because they've worn themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And we have started a couple of support groups for caregivers, and they're very well attended.
Mm-hmm.
Not only by the Alzheimer spouses, but by caregivers in general. They just need a place to go and vent and know that, you know, they're not superwoman or superman and that they are frustrated. And this is a tough, tough job that they have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's an important service, the support, and probably some education that's shared from
absolutely
among the group members as well.
The Office on Aging actually is working on a grant right now, and it's called the Caregiver Support Grant, where our focus, instead of the client, is the caregiver. We help provide respite to give that client, that family member, a break.
Mm-hmm.
We pay for some adult daycare services. We paid for in-home help so that client can even get away 2 or 3 days or go and make that doctor's appointment for themselves that they need to make. We find if they do those things, it helps keep them healthy, not only physically but emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like then if a family gets involved with your agency, and I also understand, I should say to our listeners, that these agencies you told me are available across the country.
Yes.
This is a national program. The Office of on Aging,
yes,
has regional organizations throughout the country.
They sure do.
Okay. So if someone were going to come and get services, it sounds as though you almost do an intake on the whole family. It's not an individual.
Pretty much. Their living situation and what's going on. Because if they have someone in home, they might not need the same services as someone that's completely on their own. Do they need respite? Do they need a homemaker? Do they need someone to fix meals? You know, a lot of our clients have dementia or memory loss and can no longer use a stove. And the family member needs to be away. That person needs to eat. They need to know that mom or dad or their spouse is being cared for while they're not there. It's also particularly difficult if it's a parent and a child is the caregiver when it comes bath time. They don't want to get in the bathtub and help mom or dad, and mom and dad don't want them in there either.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of services that they can access. So when they call us, we get the basic information and try to get them a case manager who can set up the services that they need, and it's really unique to each family.
Great. Such wonderful service provided. And is this then, it sounds partly grant funded and it's partly a federal program? Is that right?
They call us a quasi-governmental agency because we receive private funds. We endowment funds. We get city, state, federal dollars, county dollars. So we really have funding sources from a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it seems like a lot of that funding has gone on hold. We do have programs on hold because we've had budget cuts. But, you know, we do
really get a good bang for our buck to provide those services for people.
Mm-hmm. And do you have volunteer programs as well?
We do. We have a senior help program, and a lot of these are church people. They're off at Air Force Base men that they will go out and move someone, mow a lawn, shovel snow, and they'll do this as a volunteer to the community. Mm-hmm. We also have our foster grandparent senior companion program, and these two programs are so important because they allow a low-income individual to earn a stipend that doesn't affect them for any other services. But these are foster grandparents that we're sending out to daycares and schools and Head Start that actually will work with special needs children. And the senior companion program, which is probably my nearest and dearest to my heart, are elderly people that go out and visit people that are homebound. Hmm. And they might take them shopping. They might take them someplace and have coffee with them. They might just go and help them pay their bills and write letters for them. And sometimes it's the only contact that this person has is this senior companion that comes in once or twice a week and visits with them.
Hmm. Yeah, those do sound like both exciting and important programs.
They're very important.
So let's see. So I'm so many services. Mm-hmm. You have so many services, and I'm wondering how, what you really want counselors to know about agencies like yours, about how to either assist your agency or get assistance from your agency.
I think it's very important that anybody that's going to be counseling seniors know what's available in their community. I think it's their responsibility to learn what's out there. I think they need to be very open-minded that, as in all ages, you cannot put people in a box. The stereotypes don't work. They're going to be even more stretched out of shape as these boomers age. We are facing a better educated population than we've ever had before, with more services available than there's ever been before. But we need to be very good stewards of the dollars that are out there, because mm-hmm. there is less available, and with more to serve, it's going to be difficult. I would challenge anyone that's working as a counselor with these seniors to look at them as a full person. You know, we look at older people and we think, you know, they're past their prime or they're past their usefulness. They have so much to give. And I think one of the biggest problems they face is that they are all lumped together, you know, and they don't want to be. They're unique. They're individual. They have depression. They have illnesses, diseases like anyone else. Mm-hmm. Listen to them about their family. See where they've come from. I think from a lot of the in-services that we've done with our elders, the thing that we get from them is they don't like to be talked down to. They want people to realize they've lived a full life, and they probably know more than the people that are taking care of them.
Talked down to like a child or
yes,
something.
Very
yes.
condescending, and they really resent that.
Absolutely.
You know, they say they get, it's like once they don't work anymore, they retire, or they face an illness, it somehow takes away from who they are or what they are, and they resent that so much.
I've had the personal experience with my father, who's 84 and just retired, and he's in this period of trying to figure out, I don't know if he's figuring out or he just feels lost about what's next for him. And being a worker, like most Americans really are, getting a lot of identity from work, it's a big transition. Really big
I think
transition.
It's more difficult for men, too. Mm-hmm. I do. I think that for so many men, their job has identified them their whole life. Mm-hmm. And now they find themselves retired, and they don't have that identity. They also find the roles start reversing between the children and the parents, and that is so difficult. We will get calls and say, I know Dad needs help, but I don't think he's going to accept help. And he looks at me as a kid. He doesn't want to accept me as an adult. There's a real dynamic going on there that's most difficult. Mm-hmm. And what I always tell a family member is, if you approach him with the from the premise that you are trying to do what's best for them, you're trying to provide services to keep them at home as long as they can be, and that is your driving motive, usually, even if it's grudgingly, they'll accept help. Hmm. But a lot of children just want to step in and take over, and it just doesn't work.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, my sense is that elderly who are going through these major transitions already have a sense of helplessness and loss or grief about things they're giving up. And for someone to come in and sweep in and take over just is overwhelming.
It happens a lot. It happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be, I'm analyzing here, but I think it might be easier for the children that way. To just like do it rather than
it is
talk about it.
Especially if you look at if it's a son or a daughter that is a business person who's used to making decisions, who's used to taking charge, they kind of think they can apply that in all areas of their life, and that's mm-hmm. one area that it does not work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If anything, it can make a senior more resistant to getting the care they need mm-hmm. or allowing the services that they need to come in their home. They can really get their back up.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like one of the tips then for counselors and families would be to be open-minded, assist the elder as much as you can to maintain independence.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And involve them in the decision-making.
Okay.
You know, if they're really in an unsafe situation, you have no choice. But 99% of the time, you can allow them to help you make the right decision for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that takes time and courage, it sounds like.
It takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage because they don't always want to hear what you have to say. I think probably when you talk to most seniors in need, the number one thing that you hear from them is denial. It's things are not so bad, or I might need that down the road, or I'm saving that money for a rainy day, and they'll be in their mid-80s. And to convince them the rainy day is here and that it's okay to get those services and to make those choices, it's very difficult. And they become depressed. Just to have to admit that they need that help is a major step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So, so many services. I wonder if you could share, respecting the privacy of your clients, but maybe in a general way, some kinds of successes that you see in your work with these services.
We see successes daily. We've had seniors call and say, my kids are going to put me in the nursing home because I can't clean house anymore, or I can't get in and out of the bathtub. And with those services, they can stay at home. I think the statistics say that they're usually able to stay in their home 3 to 4 years longer with services than they would have if they would not have had anyone come in and help them. So that's huge. Mm-hmm. If you look at dollar amount, if you're thinking that the average cost of a nursing home or assisted living is $3,700 a month, compared to a couple of hundred a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, the impact even financially is huge. And they're happier at home.
Absolutely.
So that, again, you don't have the depression. You've enabled them to stay home and allowed them to keep their independence. That, too, kind of waves off a lot of the issues that they're facing.
Mm-hmm.
We have seniors that have not reached out or done anything in a long time, and we will get them to come in as senior companions. And we have home-delivered meal drivers that are in their 80s who think they're really making such a great contribution helping seniors. They don't think of themselves as old. They think of themselves as vital, performing a very important task, and it's just amazing to see them. I mean, it's absolutely...
That's wonderful.
You just have to love some of these people. And if you ever want to see a group that will totally change how you feel about seniors, you need to attend an in-service for our foster grandparents or senior companions. I believe the average age of them are over 70. And they're out there in the community every day. They're out at these daycares, and they're out at schools, and they are so positive. Some of them were depressed, didn't feel like they had much purpose, that they weren't needed, and they've become foster grandparents and senior companions, and it's completely changed them. I mean, it's a life-changing thing, not only for the clients they serve, but for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you may have mentioned quite a few, but any specific skills or sensitivities you'd recommend for counselors that we haven't covered, or if you'd want to summarize them, that they need for working with the elderly?
To not be condescending, to be very open to what that life experience is for that particular person. A lot of our seniors lived through the Depression. They've lived through wars. They've raised families. They've held jobs. Keep that in mind, that you are really, you're not dealing with an age. You are dealing with a person that, that has a lot of diverse backgrounds. And to keep that in mind and treat them the same way that you would treat a client of 30 or 40 or 50. It's just that they're at a different stage in their life. Mm-hmm. And that how they feel is very valuable, that they're, all of their life experiences bring them to where they're at right now. Mm-hmm. And that they know that their end-of-life issues are coming up fairly quick. Most of us think about it and just kind of shy away. These people that are living with it, they've lost their friends. They've lost their spouses. They truly look at things in a unique way, different than what our average person nowadays would look at it. And I think if you put yourself in that position, which I know that they're there because they care about seniors, but just to try to remember that, because we see that over and over with people wanting to step in, make decisions, and looking at a person more as an age instead of an individual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are important tips. Important tips. And one thing I heard you say in the last few segments is that it seems as if we're redefining, or seniors actually are redefining, what the terms senior, elder, old mean.
Absolutely.
Or retired.
I heard
mean.
A statement that says we are living younger longer.
Hmm.
And that's very interesting. They're saying that what our grandparents were like at 50 is what our 70-year-olds are now. What our grandparents were like at 60 is what our 80-year-olds are now. And a lot of that is due to, you know, all the medicines and the education and the involvement. People don't feel like their life is over once they've ended a career. Some of them have 2 and 3 careers or start a whole new career at 70.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It is different now than it was in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those two programs that you talked about, the foster grandparent and the senior companion program, are one way to start another career.
Absolutely.
For seniors.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, I know that our listeners truly appreciate all the information you've provided. Any final thoughts for us today?
No, I would tell you that there are services throughout the United States. You need to call your area agency on aging, which you can do for at the state level or county level, to see what services are available in your area. And keep in mind that when you are dealing with a senior, you're dealing with a lot of issues. They're not just emotional. They're not just financial. They're not just physical. It is a whole person there that you're dealing with that brings a lot of issues to it, but it's a very rewarding experience.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Patty, and look forward to hearing from our listeners.
You're very welcome.
You've just heard a interview of Miss Patty Schermbeck, the Elder Care Division Director of the Eastern Nebraska Office on Aging, with contributing editor Dr. Teresa O'Halloran. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.